Welcome to the Victory World Outreach Podcast. We pray this message brings encouragement and inspiration to your life.
Amen. Well, I want to get into God's Word right now because we're here looking for answers. Amen. We come to church. We come to prayer. We come because we're seeking an answer. Some of you are seeking an answer for something you're facing. You've got something on your prayer list tonight. Whatever it is, you're looking for God to answer. And sometimes we come to church with more questions than answers. We're questioning, God, where are you at? God, when are you going to act on my behalf? And how many know this word right here is full of answers? It may not be specific to your need, but there are answers in here tonight that'll be a blessing to you. And you know, with those questions that I'm talking about, the problem is sometimes we put our eyes on those questions that we have for God, and we focus so much on the question and on those kinds of things, and we take our eyes off of God, and now we're no longer looking to God in faith, right? It affects our attitude. It affects our prayer life. It affects all these things, and some of these questions seep into our heart, and they change our attitude towards God, and that's sort of the lane that I want to go down tonight. I want to give you three questions that hold us back. Three questions that hold us back if you're taking notes. And there are probably more, but the first question, these are things that sometimes we don't ask them out loud, but it's subconscious. The first question is, how will this happen? How will this happen? Has God ever promised you something? Or sometimes God commands something of us very clearly. Maybe he puts his finger on something in your life and he says, I want you to deal with this area. I want you to let go of this addiction. Or I want you to obey me over here or do this. And sometimes the question we ask is, well, how is this going to happen? Amen. Or sometimes a challenge is put before us. Pastor gets up and says, hey, we're going to start taking faith promises. I want you to give more than you're comfortable giving. And if you're like me, you ask, well, how's this going to happen? Hey, we're going to fast in the month of January, but this year we're going to fast 31 days. How is this going to happen? Right? And sometimes we ask this, well, we always ask this in times because we're looking at things in our own limited understanding, right? We're not thinking about the possibility and what God can enable us to do or what God can do. We're just thinking, how is this going to happen? Because we're looking at it in our own limited perception. And you know, even as believers, I mean, you're saved, which means you've trusted God to give you salvation, to take away your sin, that you're going to someday make heaven your home. That's a big thing to have faith for. But even as Christians, sometimes we face some serious needs. And when it's us that has the need, do we still really believe that God can do it? Or are we just always asking, God, how is this going to happen? Some people, that's what you're going to pray tonight. God, just how is this going to happen? This seems impossible. And it happens even when we have a promise from God. And I want to look real quickly at Genesis chapter 18, towards the beginning of the Bible. Genesis chapter 18 and verse 10 through 14. And in this story, the Lord appears to Abraham and he says, I will certainly return to you according to the time of life. And behold, Sarah, your wife, shall have a son. Sarah was listening in the tent door, which was behind him. Now, Abraham and Sarah were old, well advanced in age, and Sarah had passed the age of childbearing. Therefore, Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I have grown old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? And the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh, saying, surely I shall bear a child since I am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. And I love what God does here. He doubles down on his promise. There's a little window into the character of God, I believe, because there's a lot of mistakes that Abraham and Sarah make. And I, just for sake of time, I'm not going to read the whole story, but if you know or if you look, Abraham and Sarah both on different occasions doubt God. And they laugh and they say, God, you know, Abraham's 100 years old. That's all he's looking at. God, how is this going to happen, God? Sarah's thinking, how is this going to happen? And they're looking at the impossibilities. In fact, they doubt God so much. You might know the story that Sarah tells Abraham, you're going to have to sleep with my servant and get her pregnant. And as Pastor Jones liked to say, Abraham went right for that, didn't he? He had no problem with that. And they tried to circumvent God and make things happen on their own. And some of us can relate to that. And they just made mistake after mistake. And it's not that they don't believe that God can do things. They just doubted in that situation. But in Genesis 21 and verse 1, it says, the Lord did for Sarah as he had spoken. So he did it. The Lord helped them to get pregnant with Isaac. And he kept the promise that he made. And you know, even after all the mistakes Abraham and Sarah made in doubting God, he still kept his word. And my point with this first question of how are you going to do this, God, is that whether an answer seems possible to you and me, it doesn't limit what God can do. Just because we can't see the end result, or we can't see how something can possibly be restored, or how something can possibly be healed, it doesn't limit what God is able to do. God is still God. Amen? God is still God in your situation. So what are you asking God for? What are you asking God? Maybe some of you are asking God for a child. Well, take that story. Abraham was 100, so there's hope for you. Amen? Maybe you're praying for a job. I know a lot of people here, you're praying for a job or for a better job, a different job. Maybe you're praying for God to heal you. Maybe you just need God's direction or guidance in a certain situation. Tonight, we need to not question because God is able to do it. There's a quote here from the Thomas Nelson Bible. A doubting faith enables one to meet difficulty, but it is not sufficient enough to carry one through to the end. So you can have kind of a doubting faith. You know, you're presented with some impossible situation or a problem, and you think, all right, God, I'm going to trust you to the end. You're God, and I just know you're going to do it. And then it doesn't happen the way we think or in the time frame that we think. And what happens? We're like Abraham and Sarah. Well, let me find some other way to get this thing done. Or we just completely forget it. We don't pray about it. We don't trust God for that thing anymore. But that's doubting faith. Amen. Having real faith with God, you last longer than that. You wait until God brings the answer. And sometimes, you know what? We have faith just because we kind of have to. I mean, if a doctor comes to you and says, I'm really sorry, but you've got cancer and it's terminal. Well, now, I mean, you're just going to have faith, right? There's certain things you have zero control over. You can kind of have a doubting faith, like what I'm talking about. It's like, well, God, sure hope I don't die. Sure hope you heal me. Sure hope you meet me here. But there's something about having real faith in God. So what is the answer to that question? I'm going to answer it for you. God, how are you going to do it? And this applies to anything you're asking about tonight. God, how are you going to do this? And I want to read a couple of scriptures, starting in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 through 21. And we pray this scripture all the time. It should sound familiar. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. So it's not you, it's the power that works in you. Amen. He's talking about the Holy Spirit. And it's to him be the glory in the church by Christ Jesus. So when we recognize it's not us, it's the Holy Spirit, that's what faith is. You say, man, how do I have faith through a hard time? What is faith? How can I hold on to my faith? Faith is understanding you've got nothing to do with it, and you just got to rely on God, and then you rely on God. Amen? That's what faith is. It's when you recognize it's got nothing to do with you. And I love this scripture in Isaiah 55, verse 8 through 11. It says, my thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord, and my ways are far beyond anything you could imagine. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. So he starts by saying, just so you know, my way isn't always the way you think. I love that he says, just like the heavens are higher, my ways are higher too. It's kind of a stern but encouraging scripture, right? I don't think like you do. He's saying, you can't even imagine how possible it is for me to meet your need. You can't even imagine. And if you stay faithful to God for long enough, you can look back and go, oh, that's what he was doing. How many have ever had a moment like that? You go, oh, that's what that was. That's why. At the time, it didn't make sense, but now I get it. And some of those things, we may not have that moment until we're in heaven. But I'm telling you, his ways are not our ways. And he continues, the rain and snow come down from the heavens and stay on the ground to water the earth. They cause the grain to grow, producing seed for the farmer and bread for the hungry. It's the same with my word. I send it out and it always produces fruit. It will accomplish all that I want it to, and it will prosper everywhere I send it. That's an awesome scripture. I write that scripture down anytime I'm getting ready to preach. That's my preaching scripture. Amen. My word will do what I want it to do. So I think, hey, no matter how bad this sermon is, God's going to do what he wants to do. Amen. No matter how much faith or how little faith you've got, God's going to do what he's going to do. Put your faith in God tonight, because his ways are higher than our ways. Amen. So the question we should be asking is not, how are you going to do this? The question we should be asking is, what do you need from me? What do you need from me? Okay, God, I hear you. You promised me this. Okay, God, I'm facing this impossible situation. I'm facing this need that there's nothing that I can do. It's nothing in me. So what do you need from me? And you know how you figure that out? Right here. We get up and we read every day and we pray every day. And as we read and something jumps out to us, it may not have anything to do with what you're struggling with, but there's instructions in this Bible for what he needs from us. Amen. And we obey and we seek God and we do our part, and then God does his part. Amen. So the question we should be asking is, what do you need from me? The second question that holds us back from God, and it's not just in God, by the way. This applies to a lot of things in life. The question, what will people think? What are they going to think? That is like the question of the generation right now, all of us. What are people going to think? You know what? We do it in marriage all the time. This is something my wife and I bring up every time we do premarital counseling with somebody. We talk about, how many know we're not mind readers? We can't read minds, and yet in marriage, we do it all the time. You're talking to your spouse, and they give you some kind of look, or you say something, and they don't react in the way you thought they were going to, and what happens? Your mind just starts running, doesn't it? You start thinking, well, they're thinking this, and oh, they're plotting this, and oh, I just know they're thinking. And the other person is just trying to process, or I don't know, maybe they're more reserved or whatever it is. It happens all the time. When did we become mind readers, right? And we do the same thing in our walk with God. It's, you know, think about when we witness. Maybe you've experienced this. You have a tract for God has put it on your heart to speak to somebody. You pull that tract out. As you're walking up to talk to them, your mind's already running. Oh, they're gonna spit in my face. That guy's gonna crush me. That lady's gonna scream at me. Right? Or whatever. We our mind starts running and we start thinking before we ever even get to that part where we share the gospel with somebody. Our mind just starts, it's like it takes us out. And now all of a sudden we don't want to talk to people. We don't want to do what God has called us to do. Amen? We get so afraid of people. We ought to be more focused on what does God think. And in Proverbs chapter 29, it says, fearing people is a dangerous trap, but trusting in the Lord means safety. Many seek the ruler's favor, but justice comes from the Lord. We spend so much time thinking, what are people going to think? Well, I can't raise my hands during worship. What are people going to think? Well, I can't take a stand in this area towards my family or my coworkers or whatever. I can't be a Christian in school, teenagers, because what are they going to think? I want to read you this scripture, or we're going to continue with this scripture, but what we need to understand, if we can just sink it into our hearts that, hey, what I believe and who I am and what I stand for is just never going to align with the world, period. If you're going to make a stand for God, you are not going to be aligned with the world, ever. It's not going to happen. Verse 27 of our text says, "The righteous despise the unjust, and the wicked despise the godly." We're never going to align, ever. Amen. Doesn't mean we hate people. In fact, the Bible calls us to reach out to people, to love our enemies, to love people that hate us. But that's not aligning with people. Amen. And what they think. We're not trying to garner favor with the world. We're not. Some churches do that. Some churches, that's all they care about is, are we close enough that people can feel comfortable being in here? That's not a church. I don't think that's what a church is called to do. Amen. The Bible says, be the salt and the light of the earth. Salt and light are things that produce noticeable change. How many know if there's salt on your food, too much salt, you know, amen. If you're in a dark room and someone turns the light on, it's not hidden, you know. That's what God has called us to be as a church. We are not meant to garner favor with the world. I mean, what did we say about the first point? It's the Holy Spirit that does it. When you're witnessing to somebody, when you're taking a stand in your walk with God, the Holy Spirit is going to back you up anyway. That's what gives us boldness to preach and to witness and to share our testimony. We faithfully declare God's word, and then we let him do what he does. Amen? That's encouraging. The result is not on you. It's just speak God's word and let him do what he does. And there's an example of this in Amos chapter 7. Amos is an old-time prophet. And Amos chapter 7, it says, Amaziah sent orders to Amos, "Get out of here, you prophet. Go on back to the land of Judah and earn your living by prophesying there. Don't bother us with your prophecies here in Bethel. This is the king's sanctuary and the national place of worship." So the world is denying Amos. He preached, he did what God told him to do, and this guy's telling him, "Get out of here." And in verse 14, it says, Amos replied, "I'm not a professional prophet, and I was never trained to be one. I'm just a shepherd, and I take care of sycamore fig trees. But the Lord called me away from my flock and told me, 'Go and prophesy to my people in Israel.'" So Amos tells him, "Listen, I'm just a shepherd. I'm a gardener. I take care of trees. But in that, God told me to go and tell you this." Amen. So God doesn't call you to be everything necessary. You don't have to be a prophet. You don't have to be a Bible scholar. You don't have to know everything. God tells you to go, you obey and you let God do what he does. Amen. And I love Amos's response here in verse 16. He says, "Now then, listen to this message from the Lord. You say, 'Don't prophesy against Israel and stop preaching against my people.' But this is what the Lord says." And then he goes through and he just hammers him with godly revelation.